You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Radio Show, only on Financial News and Talk. Now live in studio, your host, local and national real estate expert and consumer advocate, Ron Siegel.
And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries. As we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media, this is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family or business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day. We have a very focused show. We only chat about items that affect the roof over your head, your bank account, and anything I feel would benefit you. Before we get into our intriguing content today, please join me in welcoming our featured guest. Linda Eisenman is in the house. Welcome.
Thank you, Ron. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work with you, even if you don't have any needs today. Save this number in your phone for future reference, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. And yes, of course, we are celebrating every day on Ron Siegel Radio. Got to find something to celebrate. I just am always in favor of a celebration of some sort. Those of you that know me, celebrations generally consist of some sort of food. It's just the way it is. So checking out today, it's kind of a boring day when you look at the food celebrations. Today is National Croissant Day.
That sounds good.
Sounds good, right? We can go with that. But National Croissant, depends on what you put on it, right? I mean, having beaten anorexia, I like the croissants that have some chocolate in the middle of them, right? Those are good ones.
I was on Broker Preview yesterday, and there was a good number of croissants out there, I can tell you that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What preview is that? I might have to go to that preview to try and find out what's going on there, because I seem to be missing out on some of these things. Maybe there's something I need to be doing better. We'll move right along. Let's check out and see what the markets are doing, being that it has been a seesaw market. Let's check it out. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 88 points right now.
Ow!
S&P 500 down 12.4. NASDAQ, that's fascinating to me that the NASDAQ is down 45.5 right now when we had blowout numbers from Apple. Tesla beat their expectations. Facebook, they didn't do so good. Microsoft beat their numbers. All of those earnings reports came out either last night or this morning, yet we are seeing some of these numbers not moving quite the way we had hoped them to be in the NASDAQ. What is causing it? That might be the question. And it has to do with a media that's not doing a very good job of educating. And, you know, I'm just a simple guy, but I do watch some of these things. So what do you mean by educating? Well, they're talking about all of this has to do with the coronavirus. No, not the beers. I keep hearing people say that. I saw another one on social media yesterday, someone saying, well, the coronavirus comes from too much beer, right, Ron? No, it has nothing to do with beer. But here's the issue. There is, what do they say in China so far? I mean, they've quarantined 20 million people in China. That is a massive number of people to be quarantined. And now, if you are one of those people that likes going on cruise ships, well, there is I think it's a Carnival cruise ship. Aren't all the cruise ships owned by Carnival now? Just about. Well, a 7,000 passenger cruise ship are quarantined off the coast. I forgot where they said the coast of but there was one or two people on there that were showing flu-like symptoms. Okay, so you've got 6,000 passengers, 1,000 crew members. They're being quarantined to see where whether they're going to let them off the ship or not. Now, I'm not a big fan of going on some of these big ships, but there are a lot of people that do like that. Here's the issue. Are you ready for it? And again, this is what they're not going to be telling you, because it makes good media if we can say that there is some reason why what's causing all this to happen. Here's the fact of the matter. In the United States, I don't know if you've ever heard this before. In the United States, 40,000 people a year die from the flu. 40,000 people a year die from flu in the U.S. Okay. Right now, we're at about 8,500 have died in this, whatever their reporting period is. It's probably a fiscal year. But we're talking about less than 100, they've said, have died from the coronavirus. Now, okay, so what's that going to do to our GDP? What's that going to do to our economy is the next one. Well, if there is such a thing as a good time for this, which there is not, but if there was such a thing as a good time, right now is probably the perfect time for this to be happening. Why? Well, China, if you've ever done any importing or gotten product from China, there's about a 3 to 4 week period where nothing happens in China. The entire country basically shuts down. 1.4 billion people that shuts down because it's a communist country. People are assigned work. They don't get to choose their work. They're assigned a job. When they are assigned a job, what ends up happening is they go, okay, maybe you're going from Guangzhou and you've got an assignment in Shanghai. Well, they put you on trains and send you from Guangzhou to Shanghai, and you work there for a year. And then when you want to go see your family, you get back on a train. That would be around Lunar New Year. And you take a train back to where your family is. Okay, so now everybody's taking about a week to go back from where go back to where they are. That's why in the U.S., we only get to celebrate New Year's for a day or two. In China, they celebrate their New Year's for 3 weeks. It's a week to get home, celebration, and a week to get back to your job assignment. And then it takes another week for them to even train the people, because you may not be going back to the same assignment you had in the first place. So they're going to send you where they want you to be. Now, when all those things are happening, shipments coming out, being exports from China have all stopped. If you were to go out by the ports right about now, you'll start seeing a backup of ocean containers, because there's not a whole lot going back to China. There's not a whole lot coming in here. That's what's happening. So being that China is closed for the Lunar New Year holiday, and they're also being quarantined for the coronavirus, it won't have a massive effect on our economy or on the exports. Now, if this goes on for an extended period of time, yes, it will have a effect. That's just kind of a little background right there to share with you what's really going on there. Now, the other part of it, when we haven't talked about in our economy, is there was a lot of questions about our economy last year. Why? Well, we had the USMCA deal. We'll talk about that in a minute. We had the deal with the China tariffs and the China trade deal. Well, the China trade deal, basically, we got everything we wanted in phase one, gave up absolutely nothing. You're not going to hear that from the Cannabis News Network or MSNB Hee-Haw. They're not going to tell you that the president and his team did a very good job on that. We will not hear that. And then you've got the USMCA. That's to replace NAFTA. Now, yes, I understand. We saw the big ceremony yesterday with the president signing the document. The Democrats decided they wouldn't show up. Nancy Pelosi held her own press conference to say, she and her team are the ones that are responsible for the USMCA. Well, in a way, there is a little credit that we can give to Speaker Pelosi and her team on USMCA. It probably wouldn't have been held up for 16 months in Congress if she had done her job and looked into USMCA. So, yes, we can give her a little bit of credit there. the delay probably is what we can give her credit for, and maybe watering down the initial treaty. How do you know it's watered down? Well, was there any pushback from Mexico or Canada on the changes that the Democrats wanted? No. So if there was no pushback, you know that it was not a benefit to the United States. Just throw that out there for your consideration. We're going to talk more about that, but what is it doing to mortgage rates? Where are mortgage rates going? How is all of this affecting our market? And what about the commentary from the Federal Reserve yesterday? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about real estate. Obviously, we talk about real estate every day on Ron Siegel Radio. We're going to talk about strength of the economy is surprising the experts. The biggest three college funding mistakes families are making, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you. But the replay is available, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the number one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you earning a safe, secure 10%+ return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it?
Or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you're ready for that next mortgage, Gold Star, they've got the programs and the products. You just need to make the call. Get the strategy that's right for your family. Not every loan is right for every person. There are over 100 different types of loans that we can strategize with. And so many folks say, well, I want a 30-year fixed rate loan. Okay, well, that makes sense. Everybody wants that. Not everybody, many people do. But it might not be right for you. If you're going to be staying in your house, if you've got a 2-3-4-year time horizon, and so you've got a new job assignment, why do you want to pay for a 30-year fixed rate loan? It's just throw that out there. Do you want to pay points? Do you want to pay fees? All those things are part of the strategy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now down 102 points. The NASDAQ down 43. S&P 500 down 13.96. 10-year Treasuries down 4. Mortgage-backed securities are up. That is good news when we see the mortgage-backed securities going up, because that means interest rates on home loans is going down. And we're getting a much tighter spread between the 10-year Treasury and the mortgage-backed securities, even with the Federal Reserve taking their actions, which some people think was no actions yesterday. But the Federal Reserve held interest rates the same. But does that mean that nothing is changing? No. Well, what's happening is they're still buying back Treasury bonds. When they continue to buy back those Treasury bonds, that creates more demand. And I told you yesterday about the rebalancing of accounts because of the stock market going up. That's creating a more demand for the bonds. The more demand, the prices on the demand bonds go up, interest rates go down. That is a benefit for you. So we've got that information going. Initial jobless claims, that were 216,000 individuals who filed for unemployment benefits for the first time last week. This was 7,000 lower than the previous report, which was revised higher by 12,000. That's important because the previous report was revised higher was the sample week that goes into the BLS. That's one of the components of the BLS report that's going to come out later in the month. Actually, it comes out the beginning of next month. But that is the Mortgage Minute, again, brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. Let's get into our real estate chat. Linda Eisenman is in the house. We're going to talk a bit about real estate. We always do. We like to bring you some information on what's going on in the markets. So anything new in the markets, Linda? Is it busy? Are we seeing a lot of activity in the markets? What are we finding? Are houses selling? Are they taking a long time?
Well, no, not necessarily. Usually things quiet down a little bit over the holidays, but now we're at the very end of January, so I think things, activity in general is picking up. There are people who have postponed putting their homes on the market. I know I took 2 new listings this week, and I have another new one next week. So hopefully inventory is going to be increasing somewhat, and that's beneficial to home buyers out there.
And from what I've been told, that's one of the biggest problems we've had, is just a shortage of inventory.
It is.
So
it has been for a while.
So you're seeing properties, you know, we facilitate a caravan in Anaheim Hills, and I was just checking on the status of homes for the caravan this week. And I was told that out of 4 or 5 pages that came over from MLS reports, that almost every one of them was sold. Are you seeing the same thing?
I'm not surprised. I was on caravan yesterday for the Brea and Placentia areas, and we had one property on caravan to view. That was it.
One property.
One new listing.
So that means you got to be someone like you. It's great. It's probably good for, just because you've experienced this before, so you understand the, I shouldn't say tricks, but the strategies of the trade to get your clients the properties that they want if you're helping a buyer, and to maximize the sale price if you're helping the seller.
You're right. I've seen actually both sides of the market. I've seen, you know, we had a saying at one time, it probably was the early 90s, that you wanted to be, let's see, what was it? You wanted to be the second wife and the third listing agent when it came to properties. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
Wow, that's a new one to me, but I'm going to have to try it. I might have to think about that one for a little.
I think that was the early 90s. But that's pretty much what it came down to at the time, because of properties being on the market as long as they were.
Second wife and third listing agent.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating. Okay, so I'm gonna really have to think about that
one.
That's
okay.
I'm a little slow.
Okay, so
do you end up getting, is this really one of those times like we saw 5 years, you know, right after the downturn, when we started recovering, and you'd start seeing multiple offers on everything?
Well, I think we could see multiple offers. I don't think we're going to see the frenzy, the buying frenzy that we really saw at that time. I mean, it would not be uncommon to have 4 or 5 offers, even more, on a property that's been on the market for 48 hours. I don't think we're going to, hopefully we're not going to see that again.
So one of the comments that I've got to, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to, and I say that because that's not normal either.
Okay.
That's not normal.
Well, and you know, so that's a good point, because it's not healthy, in my opinion, when you've got a overheated market in any direction.
I totally agree.
Right? I mean, we want to make sure that the, because when you start seeing markets that are overheated like that, you can end up going both ways, right? I mean, if something can go up 10% this year, then it's not out of the ordinary to think that it could go down 10%.
That's true.
Right? I mean, so...
And we've seen it happen.
Right. And we don't want that, right? That's not our goal, our mission within real estate or any investment. I mean, when you start looking at the plus 10s, even in the stock market, you start seeing plus 10s, plus 20s, you can see the other side. It becomes more gambling than it becomes investing.
I would think so.
Right. So we want to, when you're talking about your home, and so I've been at some seminars recently, and they've talked about how you can actually buy properties above market price. And that's doable as long as you've got a willing buyer and a willing seller. Right. So then the question becomes, are you prepared for it from the buyer's side? And in your experience, do you find that price is the most important factor for buyers?
No, price is just one of the elements. And it's the same way for home sellers. Price is just one of the elements of an acceptable offer.
You know, okay.
It's not always about the price.
And that I'm assuming when you say that, you're really referring to primary occupant home buyers, right? It's not investors. Price is probably more important than it would be for somebody who's going to actually use the property. Is that fair?
Probably. If the investor, depends upon if the investor is buying it for maybe for a quick profit or something like that. But okay. Long term, I don't think price is quite as important as maybe some of the other aspects of the offer. And when we get an offer come in, when I'm representing a seller, if we have multiple offers, what we try and do, we try to ascertain what are the really most important things about that offer, and it's not always the price.
So what would we be thinking about if we're contemplating that? What are the most important things that beyond price?
Well, the credit worthiness of the buyer.
Okay.
I mean, is this a deal that's actually going to close? I mean, that's essential that you have a pre-approval before you even look at an offer.
Okay.
Why would you take the property off the market without knowing that that buyer has the ability to close the escrow?
So you're actually studying that pre-approval and the buyer, especially in a market like this where you've got multiple offers or potentially could have multiple offers. I mean, I heard one agent just the other day said that they put a property, they had an open house Saturday and Sunday and had 5 offers Sunday night.
I'm not surprised.
Right. And it's a $1 million property. So it's not like it's just only in mm-hmm. one specific market. Mm-hmm. So when you see that issue, when you see 5 offers on a property, and this is good information for both the buyer and the seller, what's going to sway you to make a recommendation to your client, representing the seller, say? What's going to be your motivation to recommend one offer over another?
Well, if we have multiple offers, there are usually one or two that you can eliminate in the beginning, and you can eliminate them for several different reasons. You can eliminate the offers because of the price, or it could be buyer's down payment, which in turn relates to the buyer's qualifications, the length of escrow. Also, is the buyer asking the seller to pay any additional costs? I mean, that happens.
Okay.
So it's not always just price. There could be other fees and expenses built into a transaction that the seller could be responsible for. So we look at that. So what we try to do is, if we have multiple offers, and at one point I remember having 11 offers on a property.
11.
And this was not the absolute peak of the market. It was not, but it was close to it. And we had those offers pretty much as a result of an open house, because I had an open house the same day the builder up the hill opened his new phase and had their big grand opening. So we were priced a couple $100,000 less than the big builder at the top of the hill. And we wound up with multiple offers within 48 hours. of that particular open house.
So that goes into, ties into something that we've promoted on the program many, many times. I'm going to talk to Linda about that when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. We're going to also chat a little bit about strength of the economy is surprising the experts, biggest college funding mistakes families are making, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube, Ron Siegel, the number 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Siegel Lending Team offers you buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,900. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage, 3.75%.
that we offer our friends with Ron Siegel Radio. It is totally free to you. I love that. One of my favorite words in the whole world is free. And we like giving you these different tools because many people are really not watching what's going on in their real estate. They think they know, but you know, what does the county recorder know about your property? Is it important to you? You know, if your property is listed wrong, it could have a significant impact. Strength of the economy is surprising the experts. We're currently in the longest economic recovery in the U.S. history. That has caused some experts to project when the economic slowdown or recession could occur. And I'll tell you this right now, the economic recoveries or growth in the economy, we've never ever to date seen economic growth die of old age. It does not happen. What could happen is what causes economic growth to stop is some catalyst, Bernie Sanders, right? Something like that could cause economic growth or a recession. 2 years ago, 67% of economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal for the Economic Forecasting Survey predicted we would have a recession no later than the end of this year, 2020. The same study done for us 3 months ago, showed more than one third of the economists still saw an economic slowdown right around the corner. The news caused concerns among consumers. This is evidenced by a recent survey done by Realtor.com that shows 53% of home purchasers, first-time and repeat buyers, currently in the market believe a recession will occur by the end of this year. But the experts, they're changing their minds. Now, in an article earlier this month, Wall Street Journal revealed only 14.3% of those economists now believe we're in danger of a recession occurring this year. I've got a graph on screen showing that right now. The Wall Street Journal article strongly stated, quote, the U.S. expansion now in its 11th year will continue through the 2020 presidential election with a healthy labor market backing it up, according to these economists. The optimism regarding the economy was repeated by others as well. CNBC, quoting Goldman Sachs economist, just months all after almost everyone on Wall Street worried that a recession was just around the corner, Goldman Sachs said a downturn is unlikely over the next several years. In fact, the firm's economists stopped just short of saying that the U.S. economy is recession-proof. When Barron's gathers some of Wall Street's best minds, as they do every January for their roundtable, quote, we expect some consensus, some disagreement. But the 10 veteran investors and economists who convened in New York on January 6th at the Barron's office agree that there's almost no chance of a recession this year, unquote. The Washington Post, they say the same thing. Comerica Bank, quote, I expect that the U.S. economy will avoid a recession in 2020. Bottom line, there probably won't be a recession this year. That's good news, whether you're buying or selling a home. That is the real-time real estate segment, again, brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text NEST, N-E-S-T, to 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. Before the break, we've been chatting with Linda Eisenman, Preferred Home Brokers. And before the break, we were chatting about a property that she had her open house the same day that a builder was opening up their property and got a number of offers from that. And we've discussed this many, many times on Ron Siegel Radio, the impact of price on visibility. And I didn't ask Linda this one. Did you end up selling that property above list price?
Yes.
Now, take a look at the chart that we've got on the screen right now. Basically showing that if you've got a large visibility of your property, you're going to get a significantly more people to see your property. When significantly more people see your property, you have a better opportunity of selling it for more money.
Without a doubt.
Right? So, go ahead.
I want to explain to you kind of what happened that day. It was kind of interesting. We actually had open houses 2 days in a row. We had them back to back. When I have a property that's brand new on the market, I really do think it helps to get the maximum exposure by having it both days, because one of the first things buyers are going to ask, and they usually know this anyway, but they're going to ask, how long has this property been on the market?
Sure.
And they usually know that because they found it online and they know it's a brand new listing, but they usually ask that of the listing agent anyway. At least that's been my experience. And having that kind of exposure right off the bat, I think, is essential for a home seller, because when the buyer knows it's only been on the market 2 or 3 days, it's a lot different than saying, well, I've had this for sale 6 weeks. And then they say, well, have you had any offers on it? Well, no, we haven't. Well, then maybe the price is too high.
Sure.
That's kind of a normal assumption for buyers in that buying process. But that particular weekend, we got very lucky. We wound up with multiple offers, and we had multiple offers over the asking price. And quite frankly, we thought we were at the top of the market even when we listed it. So everybody was pleasantly surprised. And even the appraiser, when the appraiser came out, he kind of looked at me and I said, I want you to know this is no fluke that we have this sale at this price. And I had all of the offers, hard copies printed, to where he could see that we had multiple buyers. At some of them were at similar high price. Several of them were lower end, of course, and there was middle of the road. So what we did is we eliminated the lower offers to begin with, and we focused on what we thought were the three best offers. And quite frankly, one of the reasons that we went with the offer that was accepted was because, number one, it did not have appraisal contingency.
And, well, you don't have to have an appraisal contingency. Okay.
You don't. These buyers wanted the property. They were willing to purchase it and pay the price they offered without the property appraising.
And that's it. There's a lot to unpack in what you just said. First off, a lot of people don't realize that the appraiser does not determine the value of the property. He values it for the lien, not for the buyer or the seller.
That's correct.
Right. So your buyer said, this is the property we want. This is what we're willing to pay. We've got the money to do it. We're going to do it.
You know, you and I talked about that once before, because I said I bought the last property I bought, I purchased without an appraisal, because appraisal contingency, because I knew I wanted that particular property. And if it was going to come in $10,000 or $20,000 difference, that wasn't going to be the deciding factor whether I purchased that property or not. And I wanted that seller to know I was serious. I wanted the property.
Yeah. And that's certainly doable, obviously. And you prove it. The other part that I want to unpack there is you were the listing agent there.
Yes.
And you were present for the appraiser.
Yes.
And had data available to provide the appraiser some background.
Completely.
Right.
And that's what I mean. It wasn't just a fluke that we had one buyer who was willing to pay this price.
Sure.
We had several buyers. They were close, but we had several buyers in that general price range, because the appraiser even said to me, well, what's so special about this house? Because he knew the price was higher than what the neighborhood would support at the time.
Interesting. Okay, so we've got some great information there. And again, that goes to the concept that I talked to you about having somebody who's experienced understand this. Now, what, Linda, the part of what I wanted to chat with you about, because I'm a big proponent of making sure we develop desire in a property. And there's a lot of ways of doing that and a lot of incentives. I'm a marketing guy. That's basically my world, right? So there's a lot of ways of developing that. And I should back up one sentence before that, but in California, the number that I've seen most recently is listings are a starting place for negotiation. And we find the stats I've seen is houses sell for 92 to 96% of list price. There's usually some sort of negotiation. It comes down a little bit. And the average, right, last time I saw was, that's number, exact number is 96.21 was actually the last number I saw.
Was that a California number?
Yes, California number.
Okay.
So you have to have somebody that understands. In your job, I would submit, is heavily negotiations.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you're negotiating with everybody.
We're not an order taker.
Right.
We're negotiators. So there's a difference.
Right, big time.
And that's experience.
Right. And you have to understand, hey, how do I address this without insulting either side, mm-hmm, or pushing either one too far, and getting what the best response or the best outcome for your client, which is one of the reasons I personally am not a fan of double ending transactions where you have the one agent representing both sides, unless it's a family member or something like
that. I'm not either.
Right?
I am not either.
Because how do you serve two people?
It's tough.
Now, there's some new things that are going on within the real estate world, and Linda's a lot more educated on this than I am. And when we come back, I want to talk about this new rule on getting properties into the multiple listing. And what about resolution what's the right term that I'm
disputes?
Thinking? Dispute. There we go.
Okay.
Dispute resolution. So we're going to talk about both of those items when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. And since we're running late, note to engineers, we're going to push back our college funding discussion till tomorrow or Monday, one or the other. But you're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new MLS rules. What does that mean for you? And dispute resolution. We'll talk about that as well. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you. But the replay, it'll be available on Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the numeral 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? Are you earning a safe, secure 10%+ return on your investments? Is your credit score over 800? If the answer to any of these questions is no, what are you doing about it? Text ATP to 79564. Complete a 3-minute complimentary survey, and the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio will reach out to you to develop a success strategy for you. Again, all you need to do is text ATP to 79564.
Most businesses struggle to get the online reviews they need to get a competitive edge over their competition. Rex is a brand new technology that uses text messages.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home and Finance Show with local and national expert, Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Your Credit Matters segment today being brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report? It is wrong. Talk to our friends over at Blue Water Credit. Jeff Sipes and the team do a great job to help people. And as I said before the break, we're not going to use the report this morning because, you know, I'm the host of the show and I get to change things on the fly. I get to drive everybody nuts. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some new things that are going on in real estate or a new thing, but I also want to go into what happens when things go wrong. So, Linda, there's a new process that I heard a little bit about. And my understanding, and again, I'm just a simple guy and do a little radio show here and there, but the National Association of Realtors, the California Association of Realtors, MLS, kind of collude, so to speak, and they want to make sure that properties are in the MLS quicker. And they want to make sure it's in like within a day or two.
Right.
What is the benefit to the consumer of that?
Well, it's a matter of market exposure. It's a matter of getting the information disseminated out there, not only to the other agents, but also consumers in general, because you have to remember our MLS data is fed to hundreds of other sites out there. I mean, the Zillows that we know about, the Redfins, all of the others, they all have similar data that's pulled or pushed, depending upon the situation, from our multiple listing service. At one time, the agents pretty much control the data.
Sure.
But obviously, with the wonderful world of the internet, the data is at everyone's fingertips nowadays. So that's a reason for it, is to really to get the information out there, to get it out there in a timely manner. And that really gains more exposure for the home sellers, and it provides home buyers with that information instantly.
Interesting. Okay, so in your opinion, it's a good thing.
Yes, it is a good thing.
Okay, great.
And once in a while, there's a reason for a property not going on the market. And it could be the situation to where the seller may be doing some fix-ups of a property, or maybe there's a family situation coming up where they've listed the property and they're just not quite ready to have it go into the MLS at that point. And there is a special form for that. There's an exclusion from the MLS for a period of time, and that is filed with the MLS.
Okay, so I'm gonna get into the contrarian side. I'm not gonna ask you to comment on this part of it. There was at some point, especially in markets like we have right now and like we had 3 or 4 years ago when properties were selling way, way too fast, that agents would hold this data so that they could actually be the buyer's agent and the listing agent both. In essence, they made a double commission on it. And that could pose a problem. That could have some fiduciary issues. And that's, in my opinion, again, that's not a good thing. And I think this might help some of that. But what I want to do get into with you, Linda, is, okay, so I'm a consumer. I made this agreement with an agent that I thought was the greatest agent in the world. Mm-hmm. They didn't call Ron Siegel Radio, so I could tell you who that might be, right? And I find out that, okay, they didn't get put into the MLS, and the agent double-sided it, and maybe I didn't get as good a price as I should have gotten because it wasn't exposed. Now we've got a dispute going on. Do I just run right over to my local family lawyer or real estate lawyer and go to court? Or are there some other dispute resolution opportunities?
There are. And there are with most associations, including the California Association of Realtors that we're all a member of, if you are also a local member. And Pacific West Association of Realtors, PAC West, we refer to it, is one of the largest associations within the state of California. And we have a professional standards arena. And that consists of several different things. First of all, we have an ombudsman. We have several members who are ombudsman, and anybody can find out who that person would be if they needed assistance just by reaching out to the Pacific West Association of Realtors and ask to speak to somebody in the professional standards department, so to speak.
Okay, so back up 1 second. If I go to list my house,
yes,
how would I know if the agent that I'm talking to is a member of the Pacific West Association or some other association?
Well, I'd ask them.
Okay.
I mean, it's as simple as asking. If it's somebody in your immediate area, chances are they are.
Okay, got
it. All right. And, you know, you can Google anybody's name and find out so much about them nowadays.
Without a doubt.
You can find out what they belong to, even, I mean, just any and everything.
More than you want to know.
Sometimes. Sometimes that's true. But the fact that it's one of the larger associations in the state of California, there really are a lot of things that are also afforded to consumers, and professional standards is one. And that is a way to resolve a dispute between maybe a buyer and seller. You can also resolve a dispute between the realtor and the principal, for example. It could be the listing side, it could be the selling side. And we have several different ways in which maybe to file a complaint or to file for maybe a money dispute, which would be an arbitration.
Okay.
Arbitration is always about money. It's not about ethics. However, you are able to file an ethics complaint, and it's just about ethics and not money. And if it's an ethics situation, or even if it's an arbitration, you have a panel of three different people and usually one alternate. And the three different people are people who belong to the local association. They're usually very experienced, very knowledgeable in real estate. There is a panel chairman, and there's two members of the panel. And again, there's an alternate. And you have a regular hearing is what you do. And that takes place at our association office at Pacific West Association. Also, the California Association of Realtors also offers the same thing. And if you have a member, let's say from San Diego, who's a member of a local association, and then you have a member in Orange County who is part of Pacific West, you would then reach out to the California Association of Realtors, who would have that kind of a hearing or tribunal on a neutral place.
So it's like a next step above.
That is a next step above. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, I'm a local arbitrator for my Pacific West Association and the California Association of Realtors. So
arbitration, that's a binding resolution.
Yes, it is. It's always about money.
Okay.
Again, ethics is an entirely different situation. You could have both. You could have one without the other. But one of the things
you said, one of them was mediation.
Well, mediation is the third one. And that's
okay.
What I was going to bring up now.
Okay.
Mediation is completely different.
I can read minds or
no,
something.
No, that's you're doing a great job.
Okay.
Mediation is really the first step. And personally, I think it's the best step. And the reason I do is the best thing about mediation is the individual parties involved they formulate the resolution. That's different than arbitration.
Sure, big time.
Because the arbitration, those panel members are going to make that decision after it's all over with, after all of the hearing has taken place, all of the deliberate, easy for me to say.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do that sometimes for hours trying to come up with a decision. But the decision is made by the panel, completely different from mediation. Because when you have mediation, you have the two parties hopefully coming to a mutual meeting of the minds.
Well, many times from what I've seen is when you're dealing with mediation,
mm-hmm.
both sides say I won a little and I lost a little, and that's probably good.
That is, I believe that's the case for most,
right?
Yes.
And arbitration, my understanding, and I could be all wet, is you're going to agree with party A or party B, and the other, you've got a winner and a loser.
Exactly. One wins, one loses.
Right.
Absolutely right. But
so,
again, mediation is different. I just had a mediation at our association this week, and it involved members of the public. Buyer on one side, seller on the other side. And the thing that they usually argue over is the what we call the earnest money deposit, which
okay.
is actually the initial deposit. And this particular buyer had a very large deposit, and their deposit was tied up in escrow. They couldn't get their deposit back. So without going into detail, we were able to resolve it where both sides came to an agreement over the deposit dispute.
And that goes back to the same thing that we hear all the time when we're dealing with a court case,
mm-hmm.
right? You're much better off if the parties come to an agreement instead of there. You may think that you've got the best case in the whole world, but you don't know what the jury or judge is going to say or the arbitrator is going to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? And that takes place in a mediation also, because when I facilitate a mediation, we hear from both sides. And one of the first questions I ask them, a lot of times the buyers have really never met the sellers, or the sellers have never met the buyers.
Sure.
There are times that happens. It's all paperwork. And I asked both of these parties, Mr. Seller, have you met Mr. Buyer? Mr. Buyer, you've met each other before. And in this case, they had. There was another one where they had never met. And I will tell you, in my opinion, people will formulate an opinion about somebody that they've never, ever met. And once they meet them, there are times it can change, and it's usually for the better. Not always,
Interesting.
But it's usually for the better. I had another mediation. I think that one probably was last year, and it was a rather large financial. It was $30,000. It was an earnest money deposit. It was $30,000. And one side came very prepared, very organized, had copies of everything. The other side just showed up. And unfortunately, we did not come to a resolution. And the one side that would not agree, I said, you know, in the long run, I think by the time you involve your attorneys, you're going to be spending a lot more money
right
than you would at this point. Well, this person didn't care. This person left. Within 2 days, this person reached out to our association and said, is there a way that I can take that mediation settlement today, the one I wasn't willing to agree to 2 days ago? So apparently that person, that individual, came to some reality after talking to an attorney or two.
And that's generally going to be the case. I mean, the anytime you can, and I've got a lot of friends who are attorneys, right? But anytime you can avoid getting attorneys involved or courts involved, you're going to be far better off.
Absolutely. And again, they make the decision.
Right.
You know, the parties make the decision, and it's more of a win-win.
That's the whole idea. And that's always the best solution. If you can find a win-win, or both parties think that they gave more than they should have, you're probably better off. Just throw that out there. And as always, we ask you, set that first radio preset button to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to John, who's engineering us today. And of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions or to meet any of our guests, call me anytime. 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. And remember, make a lot of money so you can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio. It's only-